Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These words are from the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, and it really contains for us a sort of rule of life that can help us in our life's journey. Life, as you know, can be quite complicated. Sometimes when I look at little children, I almost have a certain fear of the difficulties they're going to face. You know, little children are occupied simply with just living and enjoying life. But they're going to face all kinds of difficult situations, very complicated situations, just as we have, and we continue to do so in our life's journey. And in the face of these difficult situations, we need something to guide us. In the face of all kinds of trouble, we need an interior principle that moves us in the right course. If we don't have a rule of life, then the situations we face are just going to throw us all around, up and down and all over the place, and can ultimately defeat us, lead us to perhaps even despair. In this letter to the Hebrews, we have several very simple lessons that can be for us a rule of life that will guide us in a good way in our life's journey. One of the first lessons comes right from the beginning of this passage, where it says in this scripture, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the cloud of witnesses are people. The faithful people have followed the law of the Lord throughout their lives. Now, for us, above all, that are the saints, but also the holy people in our own life's journey that inspire us in our relationship to God and in living a good life. The lesson here is very simple. We need to make sure that we associate with good and holy people, that we make sure that the friends we keep close to us are people who really inspire us, maybe even challenge us in our relationship to God. We should be careful about the company we keep because our close associates affect us. Sometimes we cannot always choose who we're associated with, for example, in the workplace. But among the people who are our friends, who we spend time with, who we look to as an example of life, is we have to make sure that they truly are holy people in this part of our life. These are the cloud of witnesses. We need to allow the saints be our role models. Every one of us should have a favorite saint. One of mine is St. John Paul the Great. And I let this picture of St. John Paul not simply be a nice picture, but to remind me of John Paul the Great and remind me to think about his example of devotion to Christ. We need to make sure that we allow this cloud of witnesses, this gathering of holy people who have touched our lives in the past and also now, but people who also who are in heaven, the saints. We need to allow this cloud of witnesses to be our family, to be our friends. In this way, they help us to follow the Lord. And that's a good rule of life to have. You know, sometimes when we're young, we can get involved with the wrong people. This can happen when we're older too. You get involved with the wrong crowd of people and they start to shape your life. They may not say they're doing it, you might not admit it, but they are. And so the scripture urges us to make sure we are involved with good and holy people. And then another lesson that we can take in our own life's journey is, it says here in the scripture, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Very simple rule to have. Make sure that we do not have sin on our soul. You see, some people will say, well, no one knows my sins. But the thing about it is when you sin, that sin is on your soul. The weight of that iniquity is on your soul. And you live off of that. And it affects everything in your life, especially your relationships and also your priorities. Imagine if everyone were simply to have this rule of life, I won't have sin on my soul. I won't get involved in this sin or that sin. If I have sinned, I will confess my sins and I will repent. I'll begin again. We need to make sure that our soul is in a state of grace. That's most important. You know, when you think about being in a state of grace, it means that I'm not so much looking to avoid sin as I am to embracing this life of holiness. We can turn away from our sins and be faithful to the gospel. This is a very simple lesson for our rule of life. We should be holy. We need to be holy. God wants us to be holy, and other people need us to be holy. There's a lot of people roaming the world today who are weighed down by their own sins, and they're worse off because of that. And people need them to turn away from their sins, but they don't. And that sin just weighs them down, and sin leads to more sin. That's the nature of serious sin. It leads to more sin. We need to rid ourselves of sin in our own soul. And we can do this by turning to the Lord Jesus and repenting of our sins again and again and again. It is best for us to be holy. Remember that rule. It's best for you right now to be holy, to be free from sin, to be inspired by that life of grace from the Holy Spirit, which comes to us, by the way, in our baptism. And then the scripture from this letter to the Hebrews gives us another lesson for our rule of life. It says here that we have to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Some of you at this time may be watching the Olympics, and it's very inspiring to see these athletes do such great things. They have such great talent. And I was watching one of the swimming races, and I felt so inspired. I said, man, I wish I could swim that fast. You know, it's really inspiring. But you know something? One of these athletes, all of them actually know that it's not enough to be physically fit. You have to persevere in this physical fitness. You've got to constantly plan and practice and prepare for your next contest because your opponents are doing the same thing. Well, the people in the Olympics are persevering for a goal that is temporary. They're trying to attain a win that is temporary, that is passing. Or they're trying to avoid a loss that is also temporary and passing. The goal we have is to win heaven. And that win is eternal. And the loss we want to avoid is the pains of hell. And that loss is also eternal. And so we have to persevere in running the race of faith in Jesus. We have to move on that path of being disciples of Jesus. Perseverance means that it's a daily struggle. It's a daily effort. The people in the Olympics, they have to put up a daily effort. You know, we just see them during the Olympics, but during the rest of the year, they're training and training and training. And we have to be like that in our relationship to the Lord Jesus. We have to run on this path of Christianity with perseverance. It is a daily struggle, but in this struggle, we discover that it's worth fighting this good fight of faith. Then in this scripture, we have another lesson for our rule of life, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In other words, we got to stay focused on Christ. We have to remember that Jesus is important for us. You need Jesus in your life. You really do. You need His grace, you need His truth in your life. You need His grace to give you that interior life of holiness. You need His truth to guide you in the right direction. Without Jesus, we're lost. We really are. And maybe you're at a point in your life where you feel lost in life. You feel overwhelmed by everything that perhaps you have done or others have done to you. And your answer is you need Jesus. Don't look for the easy way out. You look for Jesus. You need Him. Sometimes we're immediately and only looking for the solutions to this problem and that problem, and we're forgetting that our number one priority is to look to Jesus. So, going to the sacraments, going to the Eucharist and to confession is a way to continue to look at Jesus. Listening to the Word of God is a way to listen for Jesus. Prayer is a way to open our heart to the love of Jesus and His presence in our life. A really, really awesome way to pray is the rosary. If you don't know how to pray the rosary, pause this video and look on the internet how to pray the rosary. Learn how to do it and pray. Praying the rosary is a way, a powerful way, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You remember the Apostle St. Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter was asked by the Lord to walk in the water with him, to walk toward Jesus, and Peter began to walk in the water, but then when he noticed the wind and the storm, he began to sink, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, when he looked at all of the problems around him, and in a way, devoted himself to those problems. He didn't devote himself to Jesus, and he sank. That happens to us too. When we're not devoted to Jesus, we begin to sink. Daily prayer is very necessary in this effort to keep focused on Jesus, to look to him. Seek the face of the Lord always, we hear in one of the Psalms. And then in this scripture, it says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Here is another lesson in our rule of life. And if we want joy, we have to follow Christ. We need to realize that our relationship to the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is our source of true happiness. So many people today are hungry for happiness. They're hungering for some fulfillment in their life, something that will fill up their emptiness or give them a sense of serenity and peace. Well, this true joy, this spiritual joy, comes from the Lord. If we live in Him, if we live in Christ, if we live by faith and obedience to His Word, then we find this joy. We need to have an interior happiness. A lot of times we get caught up in just an exterior happiness. We seek to be excited or distracted, or we seek some relaxation. But above all, we need this interior happiness, this interior rest, which comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, from His grace and from His Word. And so, if you want joy, live for the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we have in this scripture, it talks about Jesus as having endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And so, Christ suffered. He was opposed by sinners. He endured not just opposition. It wasn't as if people just said, "Oh, we're against you, Jesus." No, they were hostile to him. They led him to the cross and crucified him. If we are faithful to the Lord Jesus, if we're really faithful to him, then we also will endure similar hostility. And I've experienced it. And it comes to us from sources we least expect. But if you are opposed because of your devotion to Christ, because you're on fire for devotion to Christ, obedience to his gospel, don't be thrown by that. It's the arena in which we are living out the battlefield of faith, the battle for truth and for grace. If Jesus was opposed, if he endured hostile opposition, so shall we. And we just have to accept that and go on. And then finally, we have another rule of life for us, which actually is a repeat of an earlier rule. It says here in the scripture, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." And what this is it means that not only do we have to rid ourselves of sin, which it says in the beginning of this letter, but also that we have to struggle against sin. When you go to Mass, at every Mass we begin by acknowledging our sinfulness. And if we've committed serious sins, we have to go to confession first before we receive the Eucharist. And some people may wonder, boy, what's the point of all this? Why do I have to get up early in the morning, go to Mass, and all of a sudden the first thing that happens there is I'm told to think about my sinfulness? I don't like to do that. That doesn't seem positive, as people always want. They want things to be positive, stay positive, and all that. It's like I got to be negative. I got to think about my sinfulness. One of the other rules we have in the spiritual life is at the end of every day, we should look at our day and see if we've fallen into any kind of sin or even venial sin throughout the day. And it's like, boy, I have to begin my day at Mass thinking about my sins. At the end of the day, I got to think about my weaknesses and my failures and my negligences. What's the point? Well, the point is that we have to struggle against sin because sin is struggling against us. it is. There is a spiritual force behind the power of sin that's always working against us, whether we believe it or not. It doesn't retire from the struggle against us, so we should not cease our struggle against sin. In our struggle against our own sins, we have to remember that surrender is not an option. We have to fight the good fight of faith right to the end of the finish line. No surrender. This is often not easy, but we have to stay with it. We have to keep working towards that holiness of life day after day. So, brothers and sisters, in this brief passage from the letter to the Hebrews, we have some things that can become our rule of life, something that will guide us in the complexities of life's journey. And this rule of life isn't simply a code of conduct, but it's a way of following Jesus. It's a way of living in communion with the Most Holy Trinity, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this communion is something that we live now, beginning with our baptism, but we work at it day after day after day, and it's the goal of our life in the communion of heaven. God bless you.